Most of us learned in high school that jocks and nerds don't mix. But that calculus appears to be changing. Witness MIT's 5th annual Sports Analytics Conference, a gathering of geeky brainiacs who love to crunch numbers, which kicks off at the Boston Convention Center later this week. Dallas Mavericks owner Mark Cuban calls it a must-attend for anyone interested in how to apply statistics to professional sports. And these days, that's a lot of people. In an article in the Sunday Globe magazine, the Globe's Shira Springer writes about how Boston has become the ground zero of sports analytics. And Shira Springer is with us now. Welcome to Radio Boston.
Thank you for having me.
So, Shira, give us an example of the growing way in which math is being applied to professional sports.
Well, I think there probably isn't a trade or a player acquisition today that doesn't get put through some sort of rigorous statistical analysis. Teams are investing so much money in players, in building stadiums, in decisions about ticket pricing and all the aspects of running a sports franchise. They run the numbers on everything, but I think particularly with regard to player acquisition.
So let's talk about a couple of people you mentioned in your piece who represent this new generation of sort of geeky sports number crunchers who are suddenly have a big role in professional sports. Tell us about John Ezekowitz, a Harvard sophomore.
Yeah, John is a really interesting case. He's a member of the Harvard Sports Analysis Collective, which is basically an undergraduate club devoted to sports analytics. But beyond that, in his off time, such as there is as a Harvard sophomore, he works for the Phoenix Suns as a consultant running
numbers. The basketball
team,
yeah.
The NBA basketball team. He was telling me about going out there for training camp, and it was just a dream come true for him. He was a kid who never thought he would be involved in the NBA in any meaningful way. And here he is right in the center talking to the general manager, meeting players that he's idolized.
Yeah. So what's he doing? He's crunching numbers just based on watching games?
Mm-hmm. He just basically looks at the raw data, figures out different ways to crunch numbers, different statistics they can look at, different ways to figure out how they can evaluate player performance, how they can evaluate team performance, so that in the future they can either make deals or devise strategies that are more effective.
Interesting. What does he get paid? Do we know?
He wouldn't disclose what he gets paid, but he did say he eats better than most college students. And he enjoys going to the East Coast Grill quite often.
It's not just smart Harvard and MIT kids in their dorm rooms. You write that there are now a number of sports analytics firms that have sprouted up around here. Who are they and what do they do?
Well, one such firm is Stratbridge in Harvard, Massachusetts. And they basically do the same things that John is doing in his dorm room, just on a larger scale and consulting, essentially, and offering software to multiple professional sports teams, about 40 professional sports teams. If a team that is a client of Stratbridge has a trade they'd like to execute, they might call upon the folks at Stratbridge and say, can you help us evaluate this particular aspect of this player's game? Or we're looking for a player who's like Kevin Garnett. Can you design a program that will pull up all the similar players in the NBA who will be free agents at the end of the year? So basically, they help teams make high-level personnel decisions.
You also found that the field of analytics offers women a way into pro sports that they may not have had before. Give us the example of the Patriots VP, Jessica Gelman.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Jessica Gelman is a very interesting case. This is a woman who played, actually, professional sports as a basketball player in Israel, but realized very quickly that she needed more than that to appeal to sports franchises and went to Harvard for an MBA and then worked with the Patriots on some projects where she used analytics to prove to them how they could make better use of their function space at Gillette Stadium. And it was really her ability to deal with numbers and to use numbers to make a great case about what should be done with this function space that impressed management at the Patriots.
Hmm, fascinating. Now, why Boston? Why is Boston such a nexus for this industry?
Well, Boston presents this perfect storm of elements. First of all, you have the institutions of higher education, which are not only educating MBAs, but are continually producing this eager talent pool of number crunchers. You have business-minded ownership in place at the Patriots, the Red Sox, the Celtics, who have produced success in their business lives with analytics. So they're very familiar with it. Hmm. You have successful teams, which is always essential because success breeds success. If a method is successful, more people are going to want to try it. That combination of factors really has made Boston an epicenter of sorts.
You quote Michael Lewis, the author of Moneyball, a great book about professional sports, as saying that Boston's recent success, the Celtics, the Red Sox, the Patriots, are the result in many ways of embracing this kind of analytics, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, we've reached a point in sports team management where, you know, these are, in some cases, in the Patriots' case, billion-dollar franchises. There's a lot of money invested, and it really requires a new way of thinking about how they go about their business. And in a business where every competitive edge or advantage is so, so valuable, the teams in Boston have really seized upon sports analytics as a competitive edge and really invested in it in terms of money and in terms of people.
I'm wondering if this whole thing has created a certain tension. The traditional idea about how to manage or coach is based on experience, instinct, the gut feeling. You know, the coach decides to send the runner to bunt because he just had a feeling. And this seems to be really changing that. So is there a tension between, like, the old guard about sort of how to coach and manage on a sports field versus what the young NBA number crunchers are telling them to do?
Well, there's definitely the potential for tension there. You have people who've come up in the business a certain way, and then you have these newcomers trying to take over their territory, so to speak. But in talking to people like Danny Ainge, who's director of basketball operations for the Celtics, you realize the key is to get bright people who have come from a variety of backgrounds, from both the statistical background and, like Danny Ainge, from the player coaching background. And if you have people who are accepting of ideas and the exchange of ideas, then it works really well.
Well, it's a great piece. Thanks so much for coming in to talk about it.
Thank you.
That's Shira Springer. Her article, Game Changers, about Boston's burgeoning sports analytics industry, appeared in Sunday's Globe magazine. We have a link to the piece at radioboston.org.
Stay with us, because coming up after a break, early admissions at Harvard is back. We'll tell you why. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks, and this is Radio Boston. We'll be right back.